Welcome back to the Chasing Tone podcast. I'm Travis.
I'm Max.
Brian.
Jake.
Yeah, man. So
we're Jake's back again.
We're having some fun today. We're wearing the same clothes as the last three episodes. It's definitely not because we're recording them all at once.
No. This doesn't even make sense.
I wish my camera was here. It's weird to look over here.
You're weird to look over there.
Maybe
weird. Maybe you should twist a little bit.
That's even more awkward. Okay.
That is awkward.
So I got to talk about my socks. We were talking about my socks earlier.
That's true.
These are $17 socks.
You got fancy socks.
$17. Never buy socks at an airport. $17.
Wow.
I was on a layover in Seoul, Korea for 14 hours.
So you thought, I got to buy some socks over
Well, I always carry a toothbrush and toothpaste in my briefcase or whatever, mm-hmm. my carry-on. And then my feet were getting pretty soggy. And I wanted to take my shoes off for the 12-hour flight or whatever. And I didn't want to get kicked off the plane because of my stank foot.
So you're saying your socks are good for your soul.
Korea. Yes, sir.
Oh, God.
Yes, sir. Terrible. But no, that's it. That was just something. Yeah. Anyway, what we have here is Alex Clay writes, unlike a lot of other... Actually, I like that book.
That was awesome.
I like that book.
I just picked up the wrong thing. I don't know why I picked up the book. Somebody put the book on top of my paper. I threw my phone last episode.
I think that someone was here.
I threw my book last episode. So
sponsored by Apple.
Sponsored
just
by Apple.
Don't throw the computer.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's yours. But I'm about to throw it, though. Yeah. It wouldn't open Outlook. Like, seriously, it would not open Outlook. I had to shut my computer down three times. It wouldn't do anything.
You have Ebola on your computer.
I do. I must have Ebola on my computer. Jake?
Yes.
He used to be the tech support guy.
I still am the tech support guy for you guys.
For Purdue University. Yeah, you're definitely, you will always, even in 10 years from now, I'll call you, Jake, I got a problem with my computer. But in 10 years, it'll be a wristwatch, and it'll just project onto my hand, and I'll be able to do this. True story.
I think I did it last week. I was like, Jake, I can't log into my email. Never mind, I forgot to log into my email. New problems.
I think I went to the bathroom while you were sending me that. See, I get back, and I see, hey, Jake, I have a problem. Oh, never mind. I'm like... Cool.
Sweet.
Glad I could help.
Jake's going to be that. He's that computer guy from the old Saturday Night Live sketch. Move. You remember that?
Yeah.
Move. That was Jimmy Fallon. Yeah. But, okay, Alex Clay writes, unlike a lot of other fuzzes, the Velvet responds great to adjusting the volume on your guitar, no matter where it's at in the chain. What in the circuit of, say, a fuzz face would dictate it really requiring being first in the chain for best tone and control?
Pedance.
Yeah. I mean,
just when you put a buffer in front of it, it doesn't sound as good.
Right.
It wants to see that nasty high impedance.
Right.
Gross, dirty, unnurtured guitar tone.
Right. And I will say, like,
it's very descriptive.
You know, you guys know how I feel about the Velvet fuzz. I mean, it's going to sound like a commercial if I go on too long, but what I'll say is it's the greatest fuzz I've ever played.
This will solve all of your life's problems.
Pretty much. No, I mean, I honestly believe that it's the best fuzz I've ever played to my ear. It's the tone I've always wanted when it comes to fuzz. But I will say a fuzz face, mm-hmm. if you're running just guitar, pedal, amp, a fuzz face cleans up mm-hmm. better than the Velvet fuzz.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
It's going to by design.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but, and for instance, the Velvet fuzz is going to clean up way better in the big mode than it is the tight mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's mm-hmm. it's not like, I mean, I appreciate. Right, exactly. But I appreciate Alex saying that, you know, ours is great for doing that, but
yeah.
it's not like it's the only pedal out there that
no,
does that.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of, like, pedals that have to, like, fuzzes that have to be put right here, you know, under
yeah.
circumstance. I mean, some of that stuff sounds great, but sometimes it's just not practical.
Mm, especially yeah. a fuzz face is like that big yeah. or the tall font.
Mm-hmm.
Big muffs.
Yeah, those big muffs, they're the size of a pedal train themselves. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Remember when I broke your finger last week? It wasn't even last week. It was this week. It's Tuesday.
I still got a little blood going.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of hurting a little bit.
Yeah.
It's starting to bruise, too.
Stop it. I feel terrible. I'm ripping a pedal off of...
I couldn't play guitar, like, for at least an hour or two.
Stop it.
That's terrible.
Hashtag Velcro whooped your butt.
It wasn't Velcro, it was a pedal. And the pedal was made out of an old tank part. So basically, a Russian tank kicked your butt.
Pretty much.
Communism wins again, bro. Oh, man. Pedal's a socialist.
No, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, the way we designed that, there's, let me think here. It's just a, it's not anything fancy. There's just a transistor on the big mode that works does good stuff. With buffers.
Yeah. Does right. Well, all I know about it is I can put it.
Not made of unobtainium.
Right. All I know is I can put it where I want to on my pedal board and where it makes sense in my head, and then it sounds perfect. You know what I mean? And it's after a tube screamer, and I leave the tube screamer on, so I guess it's after a buffer, and it still sounds awesome. Those are buffered, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had to think. I couldn't remember.
Yep. So, two of them. Yeah. You're losing 2% volume.
Oh, no. I mean.
So I could turn my amp up louder.
I think you might have 4 buffers in there.
Well, when the circuit's on. If the circuit's off. Well,
but it's always on. Screamer's always on.
It's always on.
Oh, okay, yeah, so you're good.
Yeah, unless I'm playing through my Marshall, then it's rarely on. But if I'm playing through any type of blackface amp, that thing, I turn my mids down on the amp, and then use my tube screamer on as my mids. Boom. Mm, is, oh, my gosh, I got to give a shout-out. Dean Birdsong.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
WGS?
Oh, my gosh, he made me some custom speakers. And I've always played my Fargin. Okay, so he made me speakers to match my Plexi.
Right.
Okay. And of course it sounds great. It was designed to do that, you know, but it still exceeded expectations. So
these are WGS speakers.
Yeah,
by the way.
WGS speakers. Sorry. Max and I, we had a gig downtown Indy and it was an outdoor stage. So I was like, I'm going to bring my Plexi because I can crank it, you know, whatever. And it started raining. So I didn't bring my Plexi, so I brought my Fargin. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, I love my Fargin, but its transistors aren't 60 years old. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, transformers. Yeah,
sorry. Transistors.
Its transformers aren't 60 years old, so I could get them replaced if something bad happened. I could call Ben, you know, the guy that...
Right.
So anyway, so I took that amp, and I'd never played it with the speaker cabinet before, because the speaker cabinet was already there. Oh, my goodness.
Sounded pretty killer.
It sounded great. Max even gave me a compliment. It was kind of a weird compliment. He was like, yeah, man, I got set up before you. I started playing. I was like, oh, man, I got great tone tonight. And then you play one chord on your tone, and I was like, oh, man. It just sounded... it's in a Port City 212 OS.
The oversized cabinet.
Yeah, and, dude, it's just a match made in heaven. Those speakers... That cabinet, I'm telling you, we should release those speakers, WTF 12s,
the feast or famines.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. WTF 12, true story. My initials WTF.
Are they really?
Mm-hmm. You knew that.
Of course I did. You always say it all the time,
huh? Well, hey, it's a curse and a blessing.
It's true.
Yeah.
So these good looks. Funny because it's not true.
I miss your mustache. You need a mustache again.
I was thinking about growing it back out again.
I thought you already did. It looks the exact same.
Yeah, that's true. We'll see. Every year I give it a new shot. So
okay, so that's it on the fuzz boxes, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, the next question is from Leroy Barncord. What is Travis Feaster's real job at Wampler? Great question. Next question.
Well, Greg, someone's got to do it.
Greg White, right? No. I really don't know, man.
No, you take care of artists.
I just show up, and then somehow every Friday this paycheck comes in my direct deposit. No.
Okay, but let's be honest. I mean, the podcast is a lot more than us sitting here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more to it than that. So there's some duties surrounding that. You do a lot with artists that we work with and keeping in contact with them. And you sweep the floors.
Yeah.
And clean the toilets.
Yeah. And I have some input on products and stuff. Yeah. And then just,
you, of course, you used to do more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a point in time you start having kids and having family. Mm-hmm. So we kind of ended up saying, you know, let's do kind of a part-time thing.
Right.
And that way you can be staying at home with your kids and
Be
a stay-at-home dad and still be able to get some work done.
Yes, why hating on me for loving my kid?
Yeah. What, you don't like kids?
Yeah, you don't like kids? whatever. But no, it's cool. I was able to come to Brian, and I was like, hey, man, I want to kind of stay home. And I thought I was going to have to quit my job. And he's like, okay, well, how can we work around that? I was like, sweet.
He said, let's start a podcast.
Yeah.
Max. Now you do Travis' work. Crap.
But you're better at it.
Sure.
So, okay, Greg White writes, when I hear another guitar player with great tone, I can easily recognize it. And I can do a pretty good job at figuring out how that guitar player gets that tone. But if I try to do, forget it. I know what I want. I think I understand the tools to get there. But to my ears, my final product sucks. Not my playing. That's a whole nother discussion. The tone. Any tips on how I could objectively listen to my own playing and determine what it is that I need to add/subtract, etc., to get the tone I want? Thanks. Whoa, that's a great question.
Yeah.
It's so subjective, but wow, what a great question. What do you think, Max?
Man, I found more out about myself just by recording myself, whether it be in the studio or even like an iPhone video live. It's like, man, I need to adjust my highs here or adjust my lows here. Or this sounds flubby, or I need to add this or less gain or more gain.
Hashtag flubby.
I was trying to work that into a fat joke somehow, because it sounds like chubby, which is a funny word. Yeah, just record yourself. I mean, it's just like an athlete will watch film of himself, playing a sport.
Yeah, I feel myself dancing all
the time. Doing athletes
doing sports.
The sandwich. But you know,
speaking of sports, did you guys see my shirt?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Touchdown.
I don't see what's wrong with it.
Nothing wrong. It's a great shirt. Touchdown.
Right. You've been wearing the last three episodes.
I have been wearing the last three episodes.
That's how we do a subject change.
Recording yourself is a good idea, yeah.
I was curious to hear Jake coming from more of a technical, analytical mindset. And you play bass a lot, right? Mm-hmm. But I know you play guitar too.
Answer it,
Monkey. If you're trying to get a certain sound,
okay,
what's your process of going through it? Because, coming from a technical background, you know that there's not, magical stuff going on that, I've got to get this sort of resistor because those resistors will make it chewy.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So,
I guess in getting a sound, you kind of know, you can hear a sound and then you can kind of tell that they're emphasizing, the lower mids or different frequency ranges. You can kind of tell what they're doing there.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, you can kind of extrapolate what guitar they're using.
Hashtag extrapolate.
Extrapolate. He's saying
it. You can kind of guess.
I'm not an electrician, Max, but I imagine that's probably not a good place for your water.
That's fine, man. It'll fall forward.
Fair enough. Onto my fan.
Yeah.
Water. Whatever.
Anyways.
Extrapolate.
Or was Mister. I don't know. Yeah, you just kind of guess. Not guess, but in the same way that you learn, what tone's going on just by listening to it, I just put numbers to that.
Whatever works, though. I mean, I'm not being funny there.
Look at my Excel spreadsheet, and then I...
tone by numbers.
Yeah, tone by numbers. But no, I think a lot of my advice would be ditch everything except for a guitar cord and an amp. Figure out, because everybody's right hand sounds different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure left hand too, but, I would play just, the best thing I ever learned about tone was did you say that pizza smells good?
No.
But what I like to do is I would take a good clean amp and I'd turn it up pretty dang loud, man. As loud as it could, where I still had clean headroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd try to play, and I'd turn my guitar full bore, wide open, so you're loud, and then try to play extremely quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I learned a lot of nuances about my playing. I learned how I actually pick, and then I noticed whenever I would actually play at regular volumes or attack-wise, then I noticed my tone changed, and I was more in tune with what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, maybe that's a way to go about it. But recording yourself, I didn't even think of that. That's actually a really good idea.
Thank you.
Yeah. Look, I'm giving you props.
Hash brown right.
Yeah.
Looking back, I learned more about what I really sound like by listening to a recording of myself than what I think I sound like.
Oh, yeah, completely.
So, I mean, that's actually a really good idea. I mean, with me, it was just experimenting and trying every piece of gear I could get my hands on to see what it did and what it felt like and what it sounded like with this amp or that guitar or whatever.
Yeah, and like Max said, now it's so easy with an iPhone.
Yeah.
You know? The so only thing I will say about my iPhone is it lies to me.
Like, probably because you throw it all the time.
What are you talking about?
Why do you do?
But no, like, I'll play my Princeton Reverb. I have a vintage Princeton Reverb. It's a 65. But to me, it'll just sound good. Mm-hmm. And then I'll record something with an iPhone. Like, I did that little video that has the wah pedal. Mm-hmm. And I recorded that. And when I listen to that, it's like, man, that amp sounds incredible. But when I mic it up or do anything, I cannot get it. The iPhone camera sounds better than any mic I've ever put on it.
So what you're basically saying is whenever you record your next album, you're going to use an iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I bet you I could.
Probably.
I bet you I could record a whole album.
Oh, I won the dollar.
You did it. There, no, different go. Picture. Different picture, though.
So we, off the wall.
So we hung pictures up on the wall. And one of them fell earlier, like, what, an hour and a half ago, maybe? Yeah. And Max looks at Jake, just goes, dollar says it falls again. And then sure enough, I hope you can hear that in the background. But
yeah. I found out my iPhone, though, doesn't like swearing.
Doesn't like swearing?
It always autocorrects me.
It's like, I will tell you.
God, donut.
I will say one thing. When I'm texting, I will probably never in the world text the word ducking.
Exactly.
I will never text that word, but yet my iPhone thinks I say that word all the time.
So if you're reading this, it really means.
Yeah. What drives me crazy is, like, if I say plexi, it goes plex he.
Plex he, really? Yeah. Mine says plexi.
Mine won't do it.
Mine says plexi.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm using Siri.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
really? Siri knows plexi on yours?
I think maybe I've taught it.
Yeah, you can say, like, add the word, then I can.
I keep trying to make it learn it, and it won't do it. Yeah.
Why won't you learn?
I've got the reverse problem.
Donut!
Where I'll spell a word right, and it will autocorrect it to the wrong spelling because I've spelled it wrong so many times. So I say thanks, and it gives me thabinks.
What?
Yeah.
You know, the one, too, is I always say, yeah, Y-A, and it always spells us, U-S.
Really? Huh.
So, yeah, I'd be like, hey, I'll talk to us later. No.
Does Travis have multiple personalities now?
I'll talk to us later. So.
I have been mad before. I'm like, look, Siri, I am never going to say that.
Yeah.
Stop being stupid.
Yeah, you know they repeat everything you say into that phone? They report that to Apple.
Do they really?
Yeah. Yeah. So it can learn. It keeps, yeah. So everything you say to Siri, or even like on your dictation here, gets reported to Apple.
Really?
That's why you can't use it without a Wi-Fi or any network connection.
Mm-hmm.
So someone at Apple is like, what is a plex he?
How can we fix that? Yeah, I'm sure that's why you're listening. If you want to learn, fix that stuff. You probably want to listen to my conversations because I know so many cool people like Max and Jake and Brian. It's true. If you were at Apple, you could have Brian Wampler's phone number.
Oh, it's easy.
Yeah.
765-357-4.
Does it have a 4 in it?
765-352-8626. That's my phone number.
That's Max's phone number.
That's not my phone number.
Inadvertently, it is.
Oh, donuts. I was like, that's not, oh, that's the office phone number. I'm just thankful I don't have to walk
across.
Throw
it up on the screen.
No, when we first moved
in. And now it's not there.
Yeah. When we first moved into the new building, we only had one phone line, and it was all the way across the office, which is good. What, a couple hundred feet from my desk?
It's not a couple hundred.
Well, it's a couple hundred feet.
This is a sanctuary, basically. We're in the back part of the sanctuary. So he's like running from one side to the other side.
Well, diagonal.
Run. Yeah. And when you're 125 pounds overweight, walking every time the phone rings like that, it was terrible. I'm just glad I have my own phone now. It was a fat kid victory.
Fat kid victory.
Hashtag chubby. Chubby phone.
Hashtag flubby.
Husky. Husky. Husky.
That's what parents call their fat children.
Husky?
Husky. I was a husky kid. Anyways.
That's terrible, man.
Sex is true. Childhood obesity. Anyways. That's what everybody says. Like, Max, you're not bigger, big bone. I'm like, dinosaurs are big bone. Badass.
No, what do I always tell you? You would look weird skinny because you are a big dude. You're large framed.
It's true.
Seriously, imagine him like skinny, like you. He would look funny, wouldn't he?
I'd be like all buff and stuff. No, I probably want it.
Because you don't run.
Exactly.
Dude, I got a buddy named John Hudson that he fell in love with running. Like, we do guitars. Mm-hmm. Like, his jam is running.
Yeah, I know people like that.
And, like, he never ran before in his life. And then he started mid-year last year. And the dude has lost so much weight. He looks great, man. Great job, John. Like, you listen to this. But if you do, cool. But he started this thing to where he wants to run 1,000 miles this year.
Really?
And he's on track. He is on. It's 3 miles a day.
I just like
got
to
a car. I'll meet you there.
Yeah, I'll just drive there, dude.
No, and it's so great. I follow him on Instagram, mm-hmm. and it's so cool. And he's posting, and it's really inspirational, man, to see a guy that, you know, who, I mean, in high school he was a great athlete, real great basketball player, but yeah, man, it's incredible. Running 1,000 miles this year.
Nope.
He won't even entertain the idea.
Nope, not for a second.
And this isn't treadmill stuff. This is outside. This is outdoors.
Even
you know,
worse.
Like,
yeah. Like, I mean, I like to run a little bit, a few times a week, but like it's like a mile and a half, and I'm
but
done.
Would you? Yeah, he's running that's 6 miles in 6-degree weather.
Nope.
You know what I mean? It's tell me that's not inspiring, though.
It's not.
I mean, not inspiring me for me. Not inspiring enough for me to get up and do anything about it. But it's pretty cool to watch.
But I'll watch him run. That's cool.
Yeah.
And then he comes home and eats a Hershey bar.
No, he doesn't. Man, he's doing great. And he's a principal for a school too. I think. I forget which one. But Terry McIntyre. Wait a minute. Is that right?
Yep.
McIntyre. Okay, Terry McIntyre. I'd like to know how changing a capacitor. Boring. I'd like to know how changing the capacitor value in the guitar affects the tone. Also, 500K pots with single coils. Okay, the whole thing with the single coils, I hate to admit this. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it out loud, but I am a slave to the fact that I just heard 500K goes with humbuckers, 250K goes with single coils, so I just did it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's like the rule of thumb. And even when I made my parts caster, mm-hmm. I think I just went with the... No, I did go with a 500K taper on my neck pickup.
Was it hotter, though?
Yeah, it was still hotter. Single coil. Yeah, so I guess I did do that, and I liked it better, so I take that back. I did experiment on that. Hashtag experiment. But
Jake, why is that?
Because.
Okay.
And that's why he's the engineer.
Let's go to... Well, let me ask. I'll set you up for it. Is it... It's resistance, right? Because a pot's just a variable resistor, right?
Correct, yeah.
So whenever you turn all the way up to 500, so whenever you turn it up, is it going from 0 to 500K?
Yeah.
So.
Well, is it a voltage divider or a variable resistor? We're talking volume.
I thought it was a voltage divider.
Is it? See, I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
I think it's a voltage divider.
Volume pot, then you'd be a voltage divider.
Okay, so yeah.
Yeah, your tone control is a variable resistor, I think. Yeah.
Okay, so. I just always think of pots as variable resistors, and because in the pedal
it's
world,
two different ways of wiring them.
Okay,
basically.
Okay, so basically, when you're talking about, let's say he's talking volume and not tone. He's talking volume and not tone.
Okay.
So, voltage. Explain it to me because I know this isn't the case, but to some people, it might help. So one would say, well, why get a 500K pot instead mm-hmm. of just getting a or why get a 250 when you can just get a 500 and turn it up halfway?
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? But it's going to say, you and I know it's going to sound completely different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there a reason why or just because?
Well, if you have like, it works as a voltage divider, but it also adds like series resistance.
Okay.
So if you turn a 500K pot halfway, half of that 500K is 250K, and you're just adding that in series with your guitar signal.
Assuming it's a linear taper.
Yeah, okay, so that is a very good point.
it's an audio taper.
Yeah, audio taper, who knows where that's at?
It's like 1K. Then it's 250K.
So,
that's not okay.
It's classic.
Well, I mean, going back to the fuzz pedals, nerdy. That's why it interacts with the pedal so much, is that you're adding a different amount of resistance in series with the resistance.
Your signal's going through more resistance.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. So, yeah, that, I mean, that's a great question. As far, I mean, mm-hmm. we got kind of a little nerdy on it, but I think that's the point, right?
Sure.
But what was the other one? What was the other one?
Cap
value.
What type of cap? I'm assuming
that depends on which cap, where it is in the circuit, and what circuit is, right?
Mm-hmm. Is it still in the guitar or in the circuit?
I think he's talking. Is he talking about guitars there? I'd like to know the capacitor value in guitar affects the time.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
What'd you guys say? Is it 0.022 for a tone pot usually?
Yeah, that or
0.047. I always use 0.047s.
Do you?
Yeah.
Either one. One's darker, one's
You know who would be great to talk to about that?
I actually take my tone pots off. I disassemble them. I don't like them.
No pot for Brian.
No pot for Brian.
You know a good guy to email would be David Allen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He knows that stuff. Yep. David Allen Pickups.
David Allen Poe.
Yeah. Sure, but no. He's super nice guy too. But email him. Sorry to just say we don't know email him, but that's just not our bag.
We make guitar pedals.
Yeah. So great question though.
I do like a small cap on my volume pot between wipers 2 and 3, which means when you turn it down, you get a little more crystal clear chiminess.
Yeah, a lot of you don't lose that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I don't think it's adding. I think it's just not subtracting like it normally does.
It creates a high pass filter.
I'm old
filter.
It allows some highs to pass through because you know if you turn the volume pot down, you're adding a bunch of resistance. Well, mm-hmm. adding a capacitor lets some of the higher frequencies pass through. So that's
right. That's what
crisper.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So basically, just replacing what you're losing.
It's not allowing.
In layman terms, it allows
the high frequencies to pass through easier than some of the other stuff.
So you're not losing what you normally would be. Losing.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying to a guitar player.
Does it sound good? Nope. Change it.
Yeah. Well, no.
Does that sound good?
What he's
nope,
saying.
Then change that.
What he's saying is basically the well, highs that. Are, okay. Come on.
I mean, it's like let's say your signal's on a treadmill. The highs
you
are
lost
going.
Already.
The highs.
Now we're done with the run.
The highs are on less of an incline than like the rest of the signal is.
Well,
is
those it, incline. Yeah.
Sounds terrible.
That's terrible. They're hard enough as they are.
They make great clothes racks, though.
Hashtag CrossFit. Seriously, when I work out, I want to push tires places. So I want to flip a tire over and just run behind it for no reason and then take a sledgehammer. Those people hate tires.
True.
CrossFitters hate tires. I don't get it. They've never done anything to me.
I don't know.
That Michelin man's, oh, he's cute. Right?
It's
why would you want to hurt him?
Flubby.
Yeah, that's what I call my kids, Marshmallow.
It's true.
True story. But I call him Marsh and then Mellow, like M E L L O, like Mellow.
Is it M E or it's M A L L O?
Well, the food is A L L O, but I Marshmallow. My marshmallow is Marshmallow.
J E L L O.
J E L L O. Yeah, he is pretty chubby right now. Hashtag Flubby.
That's a good boy.
But and this guy Simon Smith. Says, actually, man, okay, we'll make this one quick. I've got a question for you guys. What was your first guitar, first amp, and first pedal when you started playing? My first guitar was a Baker piano guitar, and if you can find anything out about these guitars, let me know. Basically, it was an old acoustic. I got at a pawn shop in Bloomington, Indiana, on 7th Street, and instead of having a truss rod, it had a piano wire through it. And then where you would have a truss rod adjustment screw, it had a piano key. I have no idea if it worked. All I know is my mom gave me, I think, $50 for my birthday to see if I could get a guitar. So I went and got a guitar for $50. And the action was like a bow and arrow, man. It was. I'll never forget the first time I heard somebody play like a real acoustic guitar. I was like, man, that sounds stupid. It doesn't even sound right. It's all clear and clean, and there's highs. Mine sounded like a bass. It was just honk, honk.
That's awesome.
My first amp was a custom.
Remember
this? With a K, and it had it was solid state, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then my first pedal was my big toe hitting the overdrive channel button on the custom amp. Yeah, I'd play my Green Day. Chugga 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 chugga. Boom. And I have a little bit of OCD because if I miss the pedal / button that's like mm-hmm. as big as my fingernail mm-hmm. with my foot, I'd have to start the whole song over.
Right. You got to nail it.
Got to nail it. Yeah. First guitar.
Well, keep in mind, this is 1981.
Okay.
My very first one was a little cheap $20 acoustic my parents got me for Christmas. And I actually got mad at my brother and hit him with it and smashed it. I got really bad trouble. I hit him in the butt, but I still smashed the guitar, and I got in bad trouble. So anyways, somehow I talked them into getting me a cheap acoustic. I think it was 6 months later. I think it was probably my birthday or something. It was my birthday, actually. So it was like basically a cheap Strat copy. I don't even remember the name of it. And amp was a Sears Kingston, maybe, little solid state, 6 or 8 inch speaker. It was terrible. got an Electro-Harmonix fuzz of some sort, but it was the type that plugged into the guitar.
Yeah, I remember those. You know, pedal steel guys love those. But
yeah,
go ahead.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm, yep. And that was my first fuzz, and I was trying to go for classic rock tones, so that didn't do it for me. second pedal was an OD-1. I still have that one, actually.
Really?
Boss OD-1.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Had a Squire Bullet Strat. It was the very first electric. Yeah, it was black. It was cool. I had a Crete, like 15-watt solid state amp. It had like an 8-inch speaker. It was like super tiny.
And you were pretty lucky too, because you had gear to choose from, because your dad plays.
Yeah, yeah.
He probably wouldn't let you use it when you first started.
No, I wasn't allowed to use it. Yeah. And then I had a Rock Tech distortion pedal.
Yeah, man.
I still have it. It actually went through a flood in my parents' basement, but I still have it. It's not operational, but I saved up my $20. Baling hay for that week, and I bought it.
Nice. I used to bale hay, but that was for fishing privileges. I used to live next to Amish people, and I wanted to fish in their pond, and I skate on it in the winter. And their thing was like, "Yeah, that's cool. Help me bale some hay." So the Englishman got his hands dirty. But your first gear?
My first gear. That would have been my sophomore year in high school, which is about a couple
3 years
ago.
Ago.
let's see. It was the bass was a Stag something, which is like something you'd see out of a BC Rich catalog.
Yeah. Awesome.
And it was, I think the only thing I can remember about it was that it was so neck heavy that if I let go of it, it would just smash the ground.
So it was like an SG.
I can't even remember what the amp was. I think it was an Ibanez Soundwave.
There you go.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
And then the first pedal I got was like a Gold Star, like, yes, it was a MXR M80 direct box, but it has this, which on its own is like whatever, but it has this fantastic little color switch, which is just like a little mid scoop.
Okay.
And I still use it to this day.
Oh, nice.
It's fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, that's cool.
A Gold Star.
Gold Star. You get a Gold Star. but no, it's so funny how our lives are changed from something so ridiculous as guitar gear, you know, and it's like, it's just crazy, man. You think about it, because I always thought my life was going to be changed by something, you know, completely different. I wanted to be a sports star, you know what I mean? So, but then music ruined me.
It's true.
Sweet mistress. But, so if you guys, these are great questions, man. If you guys have any other questions or comments or suggestions that you want to throw at us, leave them in the YouTube comments below. Send us an email at podcast@wamplerpedals.com. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram and Meerkat and
Twitter, Periscope,
Yik Yak, WhatsApp, Snapchat,
Uber.
No. Wait, that's just Google us. Yeah, that Uber. Brian will come drive you around. I'm Travis.
I'm Max.
I'm Brian.
And Jake.
And special guest Jake Steffes.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, he's been with us last couple episodes. So, all right, thank you guys so much for listening/watching.